All right, welcome. Glad you are with us, and we are back. We were not here Friday night. We were in Nashville. I spoke for the Reawaken tour for Clay Clark and General Michael Flynn. They'd asked me to speak for that several times, and it was never close enough, and I don't like to travel. And so I said, thank you, but I can't make it until you get closer. And they finally got closer, as in 3 hours away in Nashville. So went over there Friday morning, spoke at 1:15, and then slipped out the back door. So there was a lot of conservative media asking if we would come, and Logan and myself, I would come over and be interviewed. But I thanked them very nicely and told them I wasn't sure I could do that, and because I wasn't sure what my schedule was, because I hadn't made up my mind yet. So I spoke, and then I walked outside after I spoke and looked at Logan. I said, we have two options. I can go back in here and broadcast from here. And do interviews and set up our own equipment and broadcast from here and interview people. Or we can go to the Hermitage, the home of President Andrew Jackson, one of my favorite presidents, the 7th president of the United States, who I quote extensively in my book, Grave Influence, warning about don't ever get a central bank. And we didn't listen. We got one, 1913, Federal Reserve. He was censured for doing away with a central bank. And today I did my radio show / TV show at 1 o'clock about him. I'm going to do more about him tomorrow. If you want to watch it, you'll find it at WVWTV.com, what I did today. And tomorrow I'll do part two on Andrew Jackson, because his words in his farewell address, which I have right here, his words are prophetic. This is his farewell address in 1837. And very, very prophetic. So much of what he warned would happen to America, well, it has now happened. Guess that's what you get for not listening to a guy from the great state of Tennessee. So I went over to the Hermitage, which I've been wanting to do for years and years and years, and it was wonderful and historic, and wish I could have spent more time there. I'll have to go back, because very, very interesting. Again, I won't do my radio show, TV show I did at 1 o'clock. You can go to WVWTV.com if you'd like to hear more about that trip there. So we did that, spent a few hours there. Then we went and got a bite to eat, and then called it a day, and then got up Saturday morning and let the ladies do some shopping. And Nashville, yeah, I had not been there in 7 years. I said on my radio show and TV show today, it is, they've destroyed Nashville. But that's what leftists do. Leftists tend to destroy cities. And the leftists have destroyed Nashville. It is absolutely overrun. The traffic, they don't have the infrastructure. I don't think they have the infrastructure. I mean, I experienced it myself for 2 days. They don't have the infrastructure to handle all the people that have moved in there. But again, that's what leftists do. They don't know how to manage anything. And so they've destroyed Nashville. I couldn't wait to get out of Nashville. Only reason I would ever go back would be if something compelled me, like another visit to the Hermitage or something of equal importance. But what a mess. What an absolute mess and a nightmare. I spoke at Brentwood Christian Academy probably 30 years ago, or close to 30 years ago, 25 years ago or so. I mean, a long time ago, before I had children. My wife and I were over there in Nashville for a meeting, and also combined it speaking in the chapel service for Brentwood Christian Academy. And it's just such a different place. Just such a different place. But that's what leftists do. They destroy cities. Look at what they've done to Minneapolis-St. Paul. Look at what they've done to Atlanta. You know, it's interesting. Atlanta, Antifa is back. And Antifa is reportedly using explosives. But you don't hear a lot about that on the media. Now, if that had been some right-winger doing something, that'd be all we'd be hearing. And the need to call out the National Guard and pass legislation to steal the civil liberties and rights of every conservative in America, right? But here is Antifa, reportedly a communist group, using explosives. Well, you go back to my TV show in 2020, and I was warning in 2020 in multiple programs about a guerrilla warfare manual, and to start looking out, being careful, but predicting that you would see the communist in America once again using explosives, just like the communist Weather Underground did during the 70s. But unless you're listening to conservative media, you're not hearing too much about it. But even the liberal mayor of Atlanta is admitting there were explosives used by the communist group Antifa. So again, here we are. Watch for more of this, sadly, to unfold. Well, tonight I'm going to be joined by Colonel John Mills, then Todd Bensman, Ivan Raiklin, and then I think a gentleman named Griffin, who I've never had before. He'll join us as well. I'll tell you more about him. But first, Colonel John Mills joins us. Colonel, welcome back to the broadcast. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, Brandon. Always an honor to be with you. Thank you so much. And just, you know, about Antifa, just have to clarify, it doesn't exist, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. They act like it doesn't exist, don't they?
That's, you know, in their...
Isn't that also what Christopher Wray said? It was more of an ideology than reality.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, this is the game they play. The Antifa are essentially, as you know, Herr Hitler rose to power, he used different thuggery groups, and he had different tiers of activity. And it's the same thing here. And Antifa really draws its roots to, essentially KGB in funded activity in Europe. But these are the street thugs. And so the elite can kind of just pretend like, oh, you know, we don't really know who they are. You're overreacting. You know, no. These are real. And we found, one of them who arrested. Normally, it's a lot of in America. Most Antifers are spoiled white kids who, want to go around telling people of color how they're supposed to behave and act. And, you know, living off their trust fund or their public school teachers. But there was one that was very interesting, and I just don't have it in front of me, but one of the young ladies, it was interesting because there seems to be a Chinese connection in that one. And I'll dig that up. And I didn't know we were going to be talking about this, but I was just looking over some of her information. So they have a little bit of diversity going on in Antifa. Bravo. It's not just spoiled white kids.
Well, and you know what? If last week here in the Mid-South, we were warned to look out that the Memphis, Tennessee area might be going to receive what Atlanta is receiving. There might be a lot of protest and a lot of rioting going on because sadly and reportedly a young black man was stopped during a traffic stop, and I guess he started running or something. Anyway, five of the officers that were involved in this reportedly beat him up. And I say that's reportedly. I haven't watched the video footage. I guess the body footage has now been released. But it was going around the Mid-South. Look out. It could be a couple rough days coming to the Mid-South with riots and whatnot. Well, guess what? Take a look at the screenshot here, guys. Here is the headline, Fox News. Memphis police body cam video of traffic stop is appalling, attorney says after review. I haven't seen it. But why did nothing happen? Because as it turned out, according to local press, they were five black officers that did this. And so you hardly hear a peep. You hardly hear a peep of it. But again, is this not worthy of burning down the town over? I mean, I thought these people were...
It doesn't fit the psychological warfare narrative. It doesn't fit the narrative. It's just like this horrible shooting in mass shooting in California.
Yes.
They're all salivating over how do we leverage this into more hate and discontent. And then it turns out that it was an Asian shooting Asians. And they go, well, we can't make anything out of that. We'll just immediately ignore this story. They have a messed up worldview, and they just have a narrative. And if it doesn't fit it, they'll just jettison and move on to the next tragedy they can exploit. But this Antifa thing is it's very coincidental with everything that's going on. No wonder they're suddenly rolling out the shock troops again. And we did some analysis. This is the center. This is the Committee for Present Danger China. We saw this back in the summer of 2020, and I did some basic models. My estimate was around $100 million China spent on street thuggery money in 2020. And some people were contesting me with me about, you know, I'm a little familiar with some of these walking around money operations to influence activity in foreign nations. I'm a little bit familiar with that. And I said, I did a basic model and math of it. And I said, it's not even close. Because they were saying, oh, the Chinese might have spent, 7 to 10 million funding Antifa. I said, 100 million bottom. Ben, I just showed the basic model of at $250 a night per person. You multiply that by the number of people, you know, in one city for how many number of nights, and multiply it across the nation. Then you have to there's an incredible, unbelievably, there's an incredible theft amount in those cash proceeds that are being distributed. They're dishonest people and they pocket them. So huge drag coefficient of lost cash.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, these are street thugs.
Turn around. What happened behind you? What just happened behind you?
I think that's the Iranian intelligence coming after me again here.
My OCD kicked in. I don't think I can continue till you fix that. There you go. Now I feel better. Thank you.
Okay. Which one? Let's do that one. Let's go back to that one. Yeah.
I like that one. Yeah. All right. The breaking news tonight is corrupt FBI official. I guess a guy looking for Russia for Donald Trump to try to pin that on him was actually the one working with Russia. Huh.
Yeah. Okay. This is disturbing, and this is in cybersecurity. We found, you know, one of the biggest, there was three things that made up 90% of 7% of the breaches, and the biggest one was called the insider. You might call him a mole.
Yes.
So this guy, it retired from 2018, and I'm reading, because I, as soon as I heard this, I couldn't believe it. I immediately ran to the DOJ website because I wanted to see the press. I wasn't going to believe this until I read the press release, and I've done press releases, and you wouldn't believe how many hours are spent on a press release and how many staff officers die producing the press release, because it is vetted so much. So I'm looking. So it's true. So you have Charles McGonigal, who was the senior FBI official in the New York field office, one of the largest, probably the largest FBI field office, running counterintelligence. So this wasn't just him. You know, he had oversight over 20, 40, 60 FBI officers at least, plus paid informants and sources, plus access to all his other resources. So this was a pretty senior guy. So he retires in 2018, and then he's arrested. And I think this is almost more disturbing with Sergei Shestakov, the person who was the translator, transcriber, and during the different Russia proceedings that the DOJ prosecuted, tried to do against Donald J. Trump, but also against several other personnel, and several of these things were waived or collapsed or some of the different cases. So this guy, so they had both a senior person and then a junior mid-level person who was the scribe. So very important, because that person could just twist the notes any way they wanted. I've run lots of translation operations, and it's an art. You got to watch your people here and make sure they're on your team. So we had a translator who was dirty. So they left the FBI. They're working for a Russian oligarch, okay? Maybe the same one of the ones they were investigating. This is insanity. And this just, I guarantee you, this just didn't start in 2018 when he retired. I these things don't come out of thin air. So he probably, a very good chance, this casts, essentially everything is now tainted. The whole Russia thing, which we knew was fake anyway, is even double fake. We have dirty insiders supporting this. And I think this historical reference is really important. Jesus James Angleton, that was his real name, ran counterintelligence in the CIA in the 60s and the 70s. And he was always derided as some, you know, right-wing lunatic. And, you know, he was convinced there was a mole in the FBI. I mean, excuse me, in the CIA. And you know what? He was wrong. There were three moles. And they were – so it was Larry Wu Tai Chin, who died – after he was arrested in 1986 during the Reagan years, committed suicide in the Prince William County prison just down the road here, or Prince William County County lockup. He committed suicide. This is the reason all of our agents that we attempted, the CIA ran from Taiwan, the Black Bat Squadron, all these things were always shot down. They were always captured because Larry Wu Tai Chin was telling the Chinese. Then you had Aldrich Ames at the CIA, and he was arrested in 94. Worst, I mean, between the two of them, horrible. But, you know, they couldn't figure out the leaking was still going on. How is this? But then you had FBI Robert Hansen, who was part of this wonderful trio that was, you know, he was arrested in 2001 before 9/11. I mean, this is insanity. So this guy who was just arrested, this collapses everything. We have a full blow. We have a struggle going on. Believe me, we have a struggle going on inside of our IC and law enforcement. And this is what the only way to take down the deep state and the fusion of law enforcement intelligence is to get them to struggle, get the white hats to fight it out with the black hats. And this is essentially what's going on here. But this is it's everything is just collapsing. It's just every day it's getting better.
Trump has had a very good 20, you know, a very good 7 days. He's had a very good 7 days because now I guess the Department of Justice is between a rock and a hard place what to do with him and his supposed files, even though he has, as president, had the right to declassify those files.
Absolutely.
And so then here you, and of course you would know that as someone who served on the National Security Council staff for two presidents in the White House, but Biden as VP didn't have that power to do that. And now we're finding all of these classified documents, according to reports, in his house that reportedly Hunter Biden had access to, which brings up the question, is this part of why those files were there? Was Hunter Biden selling classified documents?
Yeah, well, it is horror. I mean, look at, you got Hunter, who it's documented in Schweitzer's book, very clearly documented, he's corrupt, on the take, receiving influence money. And oh, by the way, there's a, you know, Brandon Appleseed is trailing top secret documents all over Delaware and his different residences and this fictitious UPenn Biden Center. I would have to presume these documents are compromised. And when there is a spill like this, there is essentially a damage assessment team that is spun up inside the IC to assess what has been leaked here. But we have at this point in time, and I was always trying to, I always try to call fair balls and strikes. I always try to give the benefit of the doubt. We have a full blown conspiracy and thank God it does look like we have some white hats that are fighting it out and bringing this McGonagall to justice. This is just shameful. How can this be possible that a senior FBI official, it just didn't happen. They said, oh, he retired and then he worked for this Russian oligarch. Oh, come on, come on, come on, come on. This was the same guy he was investigating, and it was early 2016 when at all these top secret meetings, one of these groups that I had departed from started reporting out, tee-hee, looks like those Russians are up to it again in the election. But it was always the Russians. They never mentioned the Chinese, who have far more capability, far more capacity. They would never mention, it was always the Russians, and it was always tee-hee, Donald J. Trump. Donald J. Trump. Well, hold it. You got to remember, it wasn't until July that they had the July of 2016 that they had the convention and Donald J. Trump was chosen. But I think they saw the writing on the wall. And, you know, again, you know, after Donald J. Trump knocked out 16 in a row and then July at the convention, he was picked. And that's when they spazzed out, went into overtime. So McGonagall was part of this. And he was part of the conspiracy of making up this story. And that's probably where he got to know this Russian oligarch. Was he on the take back then? I have no doubt.
So psychological projection. We're always warning about psychological projection. What they say about conservatives and constitutionalists and America First people and Christians, whatever classification they're attacking of the day, is usually true about them. So here they are, the ones claiming, you know, that Trump is colluding with Russia and he's compromised. In reality is the FBI and their top agents are the ones colluding with Russia and are compromised. Psychological projection backfired.
So, you know, and so all these people are polygraphed and clear. And guess who fails in the modern time? Guess who fails polygraphs the most? Christians. You know, so this is why? Because we have we have a feeling of right and wrong. Hmm. We have a feeling of right and wrong. And so the polygraph mafia, Alder James, polygraph, boom. You know, Doug Hansen, polygraph, boom. They all, you know, geez, how did this happen?
They could all pass them. You're saying they all knew how to pass them.
They all passed them, you know.
Maybe that's because their conscience had been seared as with a hot iron, as the Bible says, and they didn't even flinch when they would lie.
They, They didn't even flinch. It was part of their life. It didn't. Truth was irrelevant. Moral. They had no known starting point. No moral starting point. No faith foundation, no Bible. They didn't care.
So what do you think is going to happen now? Because I'm hearing, oh, this is going to force the DOJ to charge Biden so they can now charge Trump, and it'll give them an opportunity to get rid of Biden anyway. So what is the likelihood of that?
I think they need to defund the DOJ and the FBI immediately, other than those white hatters that are outing and arresting these bad people. This is we have a federal agency. It is no way we can trust it at this point in time.
Well, and you know what? Who warned about that was none other than President Andrew Jackson in his 1837 farewell address, which I'm going to go over in detail. I only quote a portion of it in my book in 2008, Grave Influence. But tomorrow on radio, I'm going on TV here at 1 o'clock Central. I'm going to go through a big chunk of this because he actually warned how this would happen. This will blow your mind when you read this from 1837, and everything he told us was going to happen happened, including, of course, that's exactly what Eisenhower had to say about the military-industrial complex.
Yeah, it's a. It's a self-licking ice cream cone, and it has a vested interest in perpetuating a bureaucracy. And no matter what the question is, the answer is grow government.
And that's exactly what he talked about in here. And he talked about taxation and growing government beyond the constitutional boundaries. I mean, it blows your mind what's in here. Andrew Jackson, one of my favorite presidents, seventh president of the United States. All right. The nation will. Oh, look at this headline real quick before I go to Todd Bensman. Todd Bensman joins me here in a minute. Look at this. Exclusive Daily Mail's reporting. Atlanta Antifa terror suspect worked as a production assistant for, wait for it, CNN, Communist News Network, and his daughter of UK foreign office consultant and New Jersey-based Chinese pharma tycoon. A Chinese media mogul in New Jersey is who the person's father is.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that's the young lady I'm talking about. You know, so hooray for Antifa. It's not just spoiled wealthy white kids and public school teachers. It's CNN producers. So maybe Don Lemon was in on this group too with his hoodie suit.
TheNationWillFollow.com. TheNationWillFollow.com. The great book by Colonel John Mills. TheNationWillFollow.com. Thank you, Colonel.
Thank you, Brandon.
Colonel John Mills checking in. Check out his site, thenationwillfollow.com.